It's a full rainbow all the way. Double rainbow, oh my god, double rainbow. It's a double rainbow all the way. Damn, it's a double rainbow all the way. Damn, oh my god. What does this mean? It's so bright, so vivid. Double rainbow, double rainbow. It's so dense, dense. What does this mean? It's starting to look like a triple rainbow. That's a whole rainbow now.
Welcome to I'm Trying to Think, episode 36. I'm your host, Chuck Werner. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hello.
Or say double rainbow.
Double rain hello.
Hello. I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Visit them on the web at foundation-institute.org. You can become friends with us on Facebook by going to Facebook and looking for I'm Trying to Think, and you should, because I want more friends on Facebook.
It's his overweening obsession.
Yeah. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/I'm Trying to Think, and you can find us on the web at I'mTryingToThink.com, and you can write to us at contact@I'mTryingToThink.com, and in fact, we have listener mail. For listener later mail. In the show. Listener mail.
We like listener mail.
All right, and that's a double rainbow. The double rainbow song brought to you by the Auto-Tune the News folks. And that's based on the double rainbow meme, which is like 2 years old, or 2 weeks old, Dave.
I don't know, you know. But in memes, weeks feels like years.
It does. It feels like years, and that's why I initially said years. But it's only a few weeks old. And the thing about that, to me, is that it shows how the meme, you know, culture is progressing to the point where that already, to me, is kind of like old hat, not funny meme. And it's 2 weeks old.
Yeah. I mean, it compresses. It's a real strange compressed cycle.
I do have to admit, though, if I had a choice between a double rainbow and a single rainbow, I would go double every time.
Yeah, that's twice as much rainbow. That's a fucking
and
gimme.
We're getting a sound thing here.
We are. We're getting a little bit of click.
All right. Well, then, this will be the quickest cut to a break that we have ever had.
All right.
But I think we have to say that we will be back with more I'm Trying to Think in a moment, and I will very quickly pick a song for us to go out on. This is good. Here we go. Okay. Hold on. We'll be right back with more I'm Trying to Think.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров «Персональный спутник».
It's raining men! Hallelujah! It's raining men! Hey!
I think you misunderstood what I said when I said we were wasting gold. Like, I didn't mean sing It's Raining Men combined with the Go-Go's again. I just meant we should start recording. That was just me trying to get us back on the track.
That was gold. All right, and welcome back to I'm Trying to Think, episode 36. So you just heard The Power by Snap. Which was great. It was great that by messing up that we were able to
bring that in. Bring that into the show.
Yeah, bring that in.
Some
the
extra
show.
Joy in our lives.
Right. And Dave was pointing at something. I have no idea. Dave, do you want to tell me what you were pointing at?
Oh, I'm just saying that coming out of this segment, We don't have live jingle because I forgot to turn it on.
Oh, that's
it's a good tech episode.
Okay,
it's a good
great.
Tech episode.
Good. We'll just sing our way out like we did last time.
Okay, sure. Or I can drop something in. We'll figure it out.
Oh, man.
No, we're going to sing.
Post-editing is crazy. All right.
We're going to sing. Fuck it.
So,
okay. Where are we at?
Where are we at? All right. I was just saying about the double rainbow always preferable to single rainbow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't think of a situation where only one rainbow is going to be like, oh, that's better than two rainbows.
I don't know. What if someone's like got a gun to your head and they're like, I'd like to see one rainbow. Or I pull the trigger.
All right.
Then you're fucked.
Yeah, that's...
Double rainbow's gone off.
Well,
fuck
maybe I can
up.
Cover the one and be like, oh, then don't pay any attention to the other rainbow.
Okay, I think we're...
Probably gonna work.
I think we're good with that for now.
Good. So today's episode, Tech Reviews, Dave.
Is it?
Tech Reviews.
Is that what's going on?
Well, for reasons completely unrelated to everything. Well, you know, one being that my birthday is tomorrow, your birthday next week.
Mm-hmm. And
next Sunday.
Really, my reason, if are you just talking about because we bought
talking
stuff?
About, yeah, we got stuff. We bought new stuff. And your reason, your shit broke.
Yeah, my shit broke.
So Dave today got a new phone, cellular phone. I got a new point-and-shoot camera. So let's do tech reviews of the items that we've had for approximately 2 hours.
2 hours is generous, but yeah, let's do it. Okay.
All right. Dave, you have the Samsung something by Verizon. I don't see a model number. It's probably on the box.
Yeah, I think it's a phone that's not even cool enough to have, like, a name. I think it's a phone that still has
it's
numbers.
It's not like
yeah.
the flip or the chocolate or...
The neck.
Or...
The kink.
Or...
The beetle.
Or the homicidal maniac.
The black flag. I don't know. I'm
no,
just
the beetle
bands.
Was a guy. The black beetle. No, was he the black beetle? The Marvel Comics gentleman.
The blue beetle.
I was just discussing this with a mutual friend of ours yesterday about how we were talking about the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants and how dumb of a name that is. And this is just completely segue, so Hillock Joe, I'm sorry. You're going to have to deal.
Okay, sure.
And
let's go.
How, you know, in the 60s, comic book villains were pretty poorly motivated. Like, for instance, calling yourself the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants because you think you're evil and you're like, I'm evil! Or we were talking about Electro, you know? Hi, I could generate tons of electricity.
And I'm
going
to pick
bank.
The shittiest way to make money.
I'm going
to
rob a bank.
Yeah, it's just, it's economically unsound.
I'm the Blue Beetle. Blue Beetle, right? I built a suit, a power suit, with very advanced technology. I'm going to rob a bank.
No, wait, the Blue Beetle stops people from robbing banks.
Does he? Well, there was another beetle. There was a bad Blue Beetle.
Pete Best? Pete Best, right?
All right, moving on. Okay, so you got a Samsung, we'll call it the black lump. You got the black lump.
We'll call it the Samsung telephone.
The Samsung telephone, it slides.
Yeah.
There's a slidey part. Look,
in
oh,
my experience.
There, I slid it. How do you like the sliding feature?
It works. It hasn't broken yet.
All right, yeah. I could probably, I mean, you know, it feels, it's a little bit of resistance. So mm-hmm. you're probably going to break it one day.
Yeah, I mean, yep. that is the inevitable end of all technology. But overall, my rating, I give it a 2.5 stars and a maybe buy.
What is the 2.5 stars out of?
Oh.
Sweet. I got the Samsung TL110, I think. Obviously, it doesn't say on it. Oh, yeah, it does. TL110. It is so that I can carry a phone in my pocket and take pictures with it.
When you say a phone in this case,
or a camera,
is that
sorry.
An exciting sort of feature where it looks just like a normal point and shoot camera,
but
it's
a
telephone?
Phone? No.
Or did you just mean camera?
That's a new feature where I say the wrong thing.
Oh, that's a good feature.
Yeah. This Dave, look, actually my old camera is right here. It's a serviceable camera, Kodak Easy Share Z740.
But I gotta say, it's chubby.
It is chunky. It's a chunky camera. But I got to say, if you can still find a Z740 somewhere, great buy. I've had a great experience with this camera. But it is heavy. I mean, you got the two AA's in there, and that is heavy.
It's weighing it down. It's like an anchor.
I complain a lot about proprietary batteries, because then you can't just replace them. On the other hand, you could get like a 4-ton phone with two AA's in it. So, you know. All right. Well, yeah, so now I can just carry this around in my pocket, and then when embarrassing things happen, I can take pictures of them.
Perfect. What's the final verdict?
Okay. 8.5 stars. And that's out of 3 stars, but you have to understand that when you get more stars, there are more considerations, so it can actually be lower than, say, like a 3 out of 3. Like an 8.5 is not quite a 3.
Okay, but would you recommend it as a power buy?
It's not a power buy, but it is a rotational energy buy.
Kinetic.
Yeah, it's a
okay.
It's kinetic. Speaking of kinetics, what I did not buy was in one of the new Xboxes.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, that is a segue because they have the thing.
Yeah, they have
the thing where you wave. I don't know,
but it's like the Wiimote, except your whole body is the Wiimote.
Yep.
So we've seen the dancing games from this already. And, you know, what do you think is, do you think you're going to go, they're going to karate chop games so you can, like, karate chop people in the video game? Do you think sex games are on the horizon?
Well, I think when it comes to the kinetic, in my important role as, you know, kind of tech industry insider, you know, we're both in the technology business.
We are in the technology business.
I haven't seen some video demos because I don't care. But I have seen links to some video demos.
Yeah.
I didn't follow them because I was busy.
Right.
But...
Well, I mean...
I've got to say, I'm giving
the links, though.
Yeah, I did see the links. So, I think the Kinetic for the Xbox, to me, that gets like a 4.7 thumbs and a Z-Buy.
That's not
giving
good.
That a Z-Buy.
That's surprisingly not a good rating, because I don't know if any of our listeners have 0.7 thumbs, but it's incredibly inconvenient.
It's a stubby.
To have 7/10 of a thumb, yeah.
The Kinetic is stubby.
But yeah, you don't need to touch anything, so the stubby thumb won't hurt you, though. Like with the Kinetics,
no,
right?
No.
So I'm thinking, though...
Except in the thumb wrestling game.
This is what I'm thinking.
Fuck you in the thumb wrestling game.
You can write this down, because it's going to happen, okay? Now, Dave, you're familiar with the YouTube video of the guys who hump furniture, right?
I'm aware.
Right.
I'm aware, yes.
You're aware. You know, there's an ottoman, and they all molest it in various ways. I think the original intent was to show their sexual techniques.
Right, their prowess.
Yeah, their prowess, if you will. Of course, then the ottoman filed the lawsuit, and things went a little strange. But I think they're going to make a big comeback now, because they're going to make a Kinetic game where you can hump furniture and it will rate your...
And get Xbox achievements?
Yeah, and well, Xbox, of course, achievement points. But I'm talking about it rating your sexual prowess based on your ability to hump an ottoman.
I see.
So you're going to be able to, Dave, if you will, you'll get achievements in this, right? And then it'll be linked right up to Facebook. So let's say there's this girl on, you know, Facebook that you've been eyeing.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a picture there that looks down on her, you know, because she took it from over her head looking up at a camera.
Standard internet photo angle.
Right on. And she's looking pretty hot to you. You get the achievement, you beat the level, right? And then right there, it's going to ask you, do you want to share this with people on Facebook?
And then you
say yes, send it to that hot girl with the above the shot Facebook, you know, picture.
Yeah.
And she gets it. She calls you. You go out for donuts. It's a nice thing.
Yeah, modern romance. Although, here's my one problem with the game, though.
All right.
Is it's just more, it's peripheral creep.
It is peripheral creep.
Because, you know, I'm already, it's like, you know, I've spent a lot of money on plastic instruments.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend some more money on a real instrument that you can play a plastic instrument game with.
Right.
And, you know, now I need to buy the Kinetics.
And that's like $150.
And that's
bucks.
The money.
Yeah.
And then, you know, an ottoman's not fucking cheap.
No. And
ottoman, like a decent ottoman's like $100 too.
And you know the proprietary third party, or the proprietary format of the ottoman, the third party hardware developers are not going to get it down. And you're either going to have to spend a lot of money for the official ottoman.
Or not going to be compatible.
It's just not going to work. Like, you get those cheapy guitars, they just break fast, you know? They're not really, you know, high-quality instrument, they send signals poorly.
So you think that ottoman's going to maybe only last, like, maybe a couple weeks of real, just vicious humping?
Yeah,
and then it's gone?
Because it's like a drum set times three. I mean, the amount of workout that it's going to get. And you know the drum sets for the Rock Band or the Guitar Hero, they break like nothing. Or what's it called now? Band Hero, right?
I don't know. I think it's the back to Guitar Hero. There's one that's Band Hero.
Right.
Whatever.
Well, anyways, those drum sets get a workout. And this ottoman is going to be ruined. That's all I'm saying. But at least it's an ottoman. Because I will tell you what, if I went to the Best Buy and I was over in the, you know, peripheral section...
And it had to be a humping couch?
I'm not even worried about the humping couch. Although that would be hard to get in the car.
Yeah, because that's expensive. You have to get like a delivery or get a friend with a truck.
Yeah. I was thinking more of the real doll, you know, USB plug-in accessory.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's just like a plastic woman laying there in the Best Buy with a, you know, packaging, of course. But that would be a little... That's more disturbing than an ottoman. I'm just glad kids today are humping ottomans. I'm glad the real doll thing didn't catch on.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Yeah. All right, well, so we've reviewed the camera. We've reviewed the phone. We reviewed the Kinectix.
All right, let's see. What else can we do? How's that glue gun treating you? That's right on your desk.
That's a glue gun. Let's look at... this is the Thermogrip C600 glue gun. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the Thermogrip C600. First of all, the listeners can't see this, but you've got a flip-out bipod thing, right? So it'll sit right on your table, right?
Oh, that's very nice.
Now,
that's very
nice. The high point here, if I could show you, is the cradle. Just imagine that you can see it, because I don't see it right now, but the listeners have to imagine anyways. The C600 sits in the cradle, heats up, you pull it out of the cradle.
It's ready to go.
You shoot the glue, and it cools down. So it's not always plugged in, which you get a lot of problems.
It's a charged cradle, I see.
Right, it gives a little burst of heat, and then it goes away. Because I got to tell you, Dave, you don't want that constantly melting glue, because it's gonna you're trying to pull it off, and it's sticking, and you got these glue threads everywhere. It's not good.
Okay.
That's a power buy.
Uh-huh, that's a power buy?
It's also a second-degree burns on your finger buy.
Okay, so second-degree burns on your finger, power buy.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're going to close out this segment. I'm going to say one more.
We have one piece of technology left to review.
Oh, man, I'm not excited for this because I was hoping we could review pipe with a barcode number.
Pipe with a barcode number.
We got a capsule review?
This is a PVP pipe.
PVC.
I'm sorry, PVC.
Please, you got to serve. You got to serve the viewer, the audio listener.
PVC pipe. It's dated 2006, July 4th. So Independence Day. This is an Independence Day special edition.
All right. So durability. Okay. The official. I'm trying to think. Pipe durability test. This is 4-year-old pipe. How's it holding up?
It's holding up pretty good. I can hit it off things. That's strong pipe.
I can attest that pipe is not falling apart.
Yeah, so this is not bad. Barcode number. Well, I can't really read it anymore, but that's all right. I could probably make it out, but they don't. Mm-hmm. All they need to know is 2006, July 4th, good date for PVC pipe.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you. I think our capsule review, I think me and Chuck have conferred. I think we're even on this. It's, if you both need some solid piping and you need to be able to uniquely identify it, pipe with the barcode is a strong buy.
That is a strong buy.
If you don't need... But I'll tell you right now. If you don't need to identify your pipe, save the
don't
money.
Don't worry about saving it.
Just get pipe without a barcode.
Yeah, pipe without a barcode.
Our constant pipe pick.
I do want to review...
It's our top pipe.
I want to review...
Top pipe.
Yeah, that's top pipe. I want to review the Pansung Flarp 720. Yeah, that's pretty good.
If you must.
That's power buy. So if you need fart putty... That's what I would go with. All right. Now I got fart putty hands. What are you going to do?
I'll probably take five, let you rub them off.
Yeah, I'll wash these off.
Okay, I think that was a good solid tech segment.
Yeah,
people know
good.
Exactly what to buy.
They do. And we still really don't.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back with more I'm Trying to Think, possibly with the listener mail segment, in a few moments. For now, enjoy this song that Dave has piped in later.
Post-production.
Welcome back to episode 36 of I'm Trying to Think. I'm Chuck Warner, and with me as always is Dave Stern, Mr. Stern.
Oh, that was very introductory. That has some punch to it.
Yes, Mr. Stern.
Okay, now it just sounds like a sort of, now it has a kind of constipatory
Mr.
air.
Mr. Stern. All right, I have a question for you, Dave. Here we go.
Ready? All right.
You ever, email somebody you haven't talked to in a long time?
Occasionally.
And they mail you right back, like, 2 hours later or something, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, cool, we got, like, a conversation going. And you mail them back, right? And it's like an ongoing conversation. There are questions or, you know, requests being made of, like, oh, hey, blah, 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 you know. So it's the kind of thing where you expect answers to come back or you expect the replies to come back, okay?
Right, there's a back and forth. Right. There's a whole thing.
So you email them after you had not emailed them for a long time. 2 hours later, they email you right back. They're really excited to hear from you. You email them right back, okay? And that's it.
It's gone?
That ever happened to you?
Yeah, I feel like things of that nature happen. Like, things where it's like, oh, there's a conversation. Oh, there's a stops dead.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about it for me. And this is where it gets into from, oh, this thing Chuck said to this thing Chuck said that makes people laugh because they listen to I'm Trying to Think, right?
Uh-huh.
I have an incredibly OCD reaction to that.
What is it? So, what do you do?
You know, like at first, I send the email comes back, right? Real excited to hear from me. I respond, right? Then I don't get a response, you know, for a couple hours. I don't expect one, right? Okay?
Right.
Nothing. I don't feel anything, really. The next day, I don't feel anything. Okay, I don't get a response. Still no real reaction from me. But after about 24 hours, you know, somewhere in the 36 to 48 range, I start to get really obsessive about why I haven't heard from them. And I check more often as time goes on to see if they've replied.
See, here's the problem, I think, from a social etiquette point of view.
Yeah.
So what they did is they primed the pump by giving you that quick response.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if that first response came the next day,
yeah,
you'd be thinking in a time frame of days.
Yeah, days, right.
So, you know, it would be no biggie, no big deal.
Right.
But by priming the pump, by giving you that, you know, couple hours response, you're expecting a, you know,
a quick
practically
exchange.
Real-time
right.
conversation. You're expecting a and real then, back and forth
and
multiples
it,
a day.
And
then it dries
gone.
Up. It
right.
dries up.
Immediately gone. It's like they liked me for, it was like they heard from me again. They're like, oh, I really like that guy. Then somehow in the second message I sent, I remind them of something they really didn't like about me. And they're like, oh, I'm not fucking responding to that guy. And so...
It was like...
I mean, that
that's
might...
A
that's
a plausible theory.
That's just a theory.
That's a plausible theory. I could see that happening.
Yeah. I could see that happening. Right. So that's why I could... Like, my brain is like, maybe that happened. But for some reason, my brain is obsessed with coming up for a reason why...
But I will say, that kind of thing's happened to me, too. So, either... I'm also unlikable, which, again, we're running with plausible theories.
Plausible theories.
Or just a thing people do. But here's the thing. If
I would never do that.
Yeah, I don't remember doing that. I don't think I've ever done that. I'm not sure if that's because we're not wired that way.
If we've done that to you, listener, please write us an email and tell us. Well, I mean, I know, like, right now, for instance, I owe somebody an email, right? Like, not... In the way where they are wondering why I haven't responded yet. But in a way where I told them, you know what, when I finish this project, I will email you and let you know. And I haven't finished the project yet, right? So they haven't got an email. Not a big surprise. But I don't think I've ever, like, started to engage in an email conversation with somebody.
And just dropped it?
And dropped it after the first message. Like, fifth message, maybe. Things start to die down, you know? But honestly, Dave, I think I actually have a kind of OCD-ishness, if you will. Or at least I wish I could, like, to say it's an obsessive-compulsive disorder is wrong. And it makes light of the obsessive-compulsive disorder, which is hilarious, right? This is less hilarious. It's like obsessive structural desire. It's not even really... A disorder, right?
It's being a fuss
it's
budget.
OSD.
It's being a big old fuss budget.
Right.
I call it BOF.
I'm fussy.
BOF. I've got BOF.
Fussy about not being the last person to respond. Or not being the... I'm sorry. Not being not leaving something up. Always being the last person to respond is what. So the opposite of it, the exact opposite of what I said, which is obviously the best way for me to communicate, is to first say...
Yeah, that makes things very clear.
The opposite. So, let's restart. I'm very fussy about being the last person to respond in a thread, whether it's on IM or a chat or anything else. I'll even say, yeah, or okay, or heh. Heh is a good one. H-E-H.
I'm going to say I'm often the same way.
Just to make sure.
I get a lot of mileage out of heh.
Heh is good. And that's just to make sure they know, hey, I saw your message. I responded. I care. You know? And I'm not saying this person doesn't care or that they're an evil human being that deserves to be put in a death camp. Maybe they are. That's separate. But I am saying, like, I just don't, like, that's, I don't understand that from the perspective of being me, which is that I'm obsessed, that I have a fussy about being the last person to respond, making sure that people get responses from me.
Yeah, I think some people just don't have the fussy, or some people
better.
Let it go.
I feel better knowing we're both fussy. Let's shake on that.
Okay.
Let's, then good, mm-hmm. last message.
And apparently
people.
Never get into an email conversation, because that shit won't end.
We are not talking. I'm not IMing you ever again.
End.
Right. That's not happening.
Okay, speaking of email, I've got to say also, we got to, transition-wise,
yeah.
we got to start figuring out transitions that aren't speaking of. That's the classic shit transition. Right. That's weak.
Oh, I don't have anything right now, so.
So no, I'm just saying,
speaking of email.
Speaking of X, that's weak sauce.
All right. This is a message. The subject is Cecilia Reed, which I'd like to thank Greg, the writer of this message. I'd like to thank him. For using Cecilia Reed as a subject message, because I ask people to do that.
He listens to what we say. I'm going to go out and say more than we listen to what we say.
Possibly. All right, so he writes, "Gentlemen, after re-listening to episode 21, Laser Crotch, for the 206th time, mostly because Chuck's delivery of, I'm three dicks deep in that shit, is platinum, I noted something at the end of the 2012 segment. You'd mentioned that omniscience negated omnipotence. I'm not sure how that works out, so can you provide an explanation? Thanks, GJG." Which is Greg.
Not in any language I'm familiar with.
Well, that's his name.
I know the fella.
So.
I know what you meant.
Yeah.
I'm just being a jackass.
So, a couple things about this. First of all, episode 21, Laser Crotch. If you had not heard it, you got to go back and listen to that. It is some funny shit. I listened to it recently, Dave, on account of getting this email, because I was like, what the hell did we say in that episode? Because that's generally how I feel about anybody writing anything.
You're one step ahead of me. I should have done that.
Like,
since we're going to talk about this.
I went back and listened to it, and I was like, oh, that's a very funny episode.
Okay, so what did
and
we...
And two, actually, second story. Let's move on to the second story, right?
Okay.
The person... Do you remember the bear slap story?
I do.
Okay, so the person who... told me the bear slap story. Actually, I think his girlfriend told me, but regardless, the bear slap story, where the bear slap story comes from, right? Asked me the other, like a week or two ago, oh, hey, where did you guys talk about that? And I was like, I don't know. I'm going to have to look. That might be tough because I don't really remember where this stuff goes on.
It turns out that the episode name was bear slap is in the episode bear slap.
Yeah, so that was very convenient. I found that extremely convenient. So anyways, I listened to Laser Crotch. Very, very funny stuff. And Bear Slap is funny, too. You should go back and listen to both of them if you haven't. Which you probably have, because you're here at this point, at episode 36.
Okay, so...
So, I believe
you said...
What did
we say? What's the context?
Who knows? We're talking about 2012. We're talking about God ending the world in 2012. Because I found a 2012 site that was not Maya-related. That was related to Christianity. Who knows what the fuck we're saying, but you said something about omniscience negating omnipotence. I didn't ask at the time because I was listening only to myself. Obviously, Greg listened a little more closely. I think that perhaps you misstated something.
Yeah, I think I understand what I would have meant. Because I looked at this and I was like... Well, I don't understand. Yeah, the phrase omniscience negated omnipotence is probably not what I meant.
No.
If it was me who in fact said it.
I think it was.
Okay. What I would probably say is omnipotence supersedes omniscience.
Yes, and I would actually say that each supersedes the other.
Explain.
Omnipotence, by virtue of being all-powerful, means that you can achieve omniscience because you're all-powerful.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying omnipotence supersedes, because a subset of potency is omniscience.
Listen to my second thing.
Okay.
Now, this is where it gets a little crazy. We could propose problems in both of these setups, but we can get into that later. The second setup is omniscience, all-knowingness, should include the ability to know how to achieve omnipotence, making each possibly the subset of the other. Because, basically, infinity is a dumb concept.
Well, here's the thing.
All right.
If there's no actual way to achieve omnipotence,
right.
then that's not true.
Right. If you...
But I get where you're coming from.
But here's the double-edged sword of that, if you will. Let's say you're omniscient, and you know, by virtue of being omniscient, that there's no way to be omnipotent. All right, that's a place where omnipotence is not a subset of omniscience. And, well, then, in that setup, omnipotence is impossible.
That's true, but I guess in that same setup, then omnipotence doesn't supersede omniscience, because omnipotence isn't a thing.
Right.
It's not a concept in
that universe. You could even set up a situation, you know, hypothetically, where you knew that omnipotence existed, but you couldn't have it.
Right.
Equally, that's shitty. That's just shitty. That's a guy who kills himself. So anyways, the other side of that coin, though, is that if you're omnipotent and you're all-powerful, and you attempt omniscience, it may be possible that you live in a universe where the idea of the Laplacian demon is an impossibility. I.e., there may be situations where knowledge does not exist.
Or, you may have every power, but in this universe, you know, omnipotence, you know, literally every power, but in that particular universe construct, omniscience is not in the set of possible
power. Right, because... if you thought about a Schrodinger's cat situation, that actually sets up a structure where information doesn't really exist. There should be a state, but you cannot know it, because by knowing it, you collapse the waveform into existing. But that doesn't necessarily mean that what you know was the truth. Go watch the double slit experiments, you fucktards. And cry. Cry yourself to sleep. No, but seriously, the problem of, you know, the problem of Schrodinger's cat, as it applies to quantum mechanics, is kind of a problem of the inability to know something. And so there is a possibility that you could be omnipotent, but just that there are structures in the universe that you can't possibly know.
All right.
So, I mean, I don't think that what may have been said, and again, I don't remember the script, and I think you said it, but hilariously enough, I went back and listened specifically because Greg mentioned this episode, and all I was really doing was laughing at us, not paying attention for the actual instance of us referring to omniscience and omnipotence. But it's good that I can laugh at us.
Yeah, someone's got to.
Good. Somebody's got to. So, so whatever we said, Greg, sorry. But I think we just laid it out as clearly as we can, that I don't think omniscience and omnipotence ever negate each other, but one may be a superset of the other depending on the universe in which you're living. And I would say certainly in our universe we have no fucking clue.
And to be frank, the fact that what we just did could logically, and I'd say correctly, be called us laying it out as clearly as we can.
Yeah.
Says a lot about the concepts.
It does say a lot about the concepts. That's exactly what I was talking about earlier when I said infinity is stupid. that's answered as best as we can answer it, Dave. Do you have more to float on there?
No, I think we got that locked down.
All right, well, that's the only question we got.
Okie dokie.
So that's the end of listener mail. And again, if you would like to participate in listener mail, please send a message to contact@imtryingtothink.com with the subject line, dated pipe. Dated pipe, Dave.
Dated pipe?
Dated pipe.
All right. All right. Dated pipe. Send it
okay.
in.
Okay, Dave, do you have something else you want to go on with here? You ready? You want to take another break? I mean, we're break happy today, but I'm ready. I'm happy to go on.
Yeah, I'm ready to power through. I think we've top loaded our brakes.
Okay, good. So good. We front loaded that. That's
let's
right.
Go.
Keep going.
Okay. One thing I saw this. Yeah, I'd say about noonish when I was driving to Squirrel Hill.
Nooner.
Yeah, a nooner, like you do. A noon, you know, go out for a noon drive.
What is a nooner?
It's a thing you do at noon.
Is it? Regardless of the thing? Is it like banging at noon specifically, or is it like... Is that afternoon delight?
That's... No, not at noon. That's...
You can't bang at noon. I mean, you can be banging at noon, but your whole bang cannot take place in the instant that is noon. It's an event. It has to transcend. It can't just be a tangent to the timeline. It has to, you know... You can't just bang at noon. You started either before noon or afternoon, regardless.
Some guys are a one-moment man.
If you have a problem with premature ejaculation or something like that,
to the point where you are literally a single point in time.
But if
that's
you
impressive.
Have it to the point where you the event is a singularity, my heart goes out to you. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. It,
basically, I don't think nooners... One, I think...
It's not just banging.
No. Although I do think that's a context you'll hear it in.
Oh.
People are pulling a nooner.
If you're around those people.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, people yeah. who are, you know...
Those
pull,
kind of
pulling
people.
Nooners. Pulling nooners.
Who pulls a nooner? I got like an hour lunch break. That's still not enough time.
Busy people. Or, you know, people who are sleeping in. I guess, you know, it's either busy people... Or people who are really not busy.
Well, to say that I only get an hour lunch break and that's not enough time, I'm precluding from banging in my office or indeed in any of the buildings where I work or near where I work.
There's your problem.
There is my problem. That's where, yeah.
You've got a commute. The commute.
Yeah, and I would need
the
commute.
Yeah.
Or I would not need it, but I would want the commute, and that pretty much does it in for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you bang in the office, then you got all the bang smell on you and the bang sweat, you know? And then you got to work the next 4 or 5 hours in that bang sweat, you know?
Yeah,
that's
no good.
No. I need a shower. I can't work in bang sweat.
And you don't have an office shower?
No, there's no shower in my building. It's a sad thing.
Okay, so...
So, Nooner, you're going... You're,
I'm driving.
You're going around. You're driving.
I'm driving.
Yeah.
And get to the corner of Forbes and Braddock... And there are these protesters who are kind of there sometimes.
Forbes and Braddock. What are they upset about?
The war.
Oh, yeah.
They're the
right.
kind of older people.
Yeah.
They flip peace signs.
Yeah, they make me feel good. It's like, oh, you guys didn't all die.
Mm-hmm. It's like, there's a couple things about them that make me feel good.
Uh-huh.
One is that the other protesters who are sometimes in Regent Square,
uh-huh.
and this is just about the perfect place for them, too, is... Basically lurking in the shadows in the highway underpass.
Yeah.
You get fetus picture people.
Oh, fetus picture people. I love them.
They're just, I don't know, I just find them unpleasant, obviously.
See, I kind of want to, like, stand on the other side of the road with, like, pictures of, like, cancerous tumors and shit. And be like, hey, you know, stem cell research can really...
Choose life.
Yeah, can really fix this. Or people with, like, you know, people in wheelchairs, kids with birth defects, stuff like that, where you're like, if we knew enough about stem cells, we could probably fix this.
But anyhow.
Not that I'm pro-abortion for stem cell use, but I'm pro-abortion for stem cell use. Let's make those babies into something.
Anywho.
Yeah.
So, my first thing is, like, you know, I get to the intersection, it's always... I see, like, people with placards.
So what else
like,
did that make you feel good? Because that was reason number one.
Because they're not them.
Oh, and that was the only reason?
No, that's mostly it.
See,
and two, it's because I don't like the war.
Right,
sure.
Me either.
I'm not
two,
for it.
The reason they make me really happy is because I am often kind of fall into this mindset where I think all old white people are retarded conservatives. And it's nice to see some of them, you know, out there not being retarded conservatives.
Right.
I think most of my interactions with old white people are negative.
Mm-hmm. Although I've got to wonder, One thing I'm curious about, kind of protest in this vein, you know, I think we've talked about protesters on the show before, but that was, you know, when we were embroiled in the G20, and that was, you know, dumb shit, you know, tussling with cops, throwing a brick through the Irish Design Center.
Right.
Protesters. But, like, this sort of thing...
That place is totally New World Order.
Yeah, yeah. But this sort of thing where it's like, you know, sort of five, you know, clear, you know, former hippies... Yeah, because, you know, they're flashing me the peace sign. Flash it back. Cause why not?
Good.
Why not, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know...
You make them feel strong.
Basically, man. Five former hippies with placards. What's the strategy? What's the agenda? What's the goal? What's going on? Like...
I think it's pretty
much... even, like, even with the fetus picture people,
mm-hmm.
I get it.
You get it. You think...
Like, with the fetus picture people, they're trying to say, like, okay, someone's going to drive in this underpass where we're skulking.
Yeah.
They'll say, ew, a fetus picture.
Right.
I don't want to have an abortion. And that will affect the individual decision. That's their theory.
That's their theory, right.
So...
Because what you always think about when you're facing the difficult choice of keeping or aborting a fetus, gross pictures is pretty much what you think
high
about.
Up on the list, yeah, of course. But... So, in that vein, though...
I think it is,
I have a hard time
people.
Puzzling what...
Which layers?
The agenda is for, you know...
For the war people?
The kindly old people. Yeah, these kindly old people.
Well, I think...
like, what makes their protest, like... When they go away for a day, clearly they probably must go either like, oh, yeah, that was a good day, or, oh, this was not a good day. What causes them to do either of those things?
I don't know that anything specific will
What's
cause
the measure of
them.
Success?
The number of honks they get, maybe? I don't know that they measure success. I think there are a couple things about that. First of all, I think it just makes them feel better,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, fine. It's a fine and dandy motivator.
I think it's just pure expression rather than expression towards a goal.
Yeah. All expression is kind of both pure expression for self-release because usually mm-hmm. expressing something is getting something out that you have... In we as human beings, as social creatures, just kind of feel this release by taking something that's inside ourselves and spreading it, whether it's through art or just language or whatever. It makes them feel better.
And then you're talking about goals. You were talking about
because
self-expression.
Because they know that we live in a culture where if I'm going to sit in my easy chair, literally, because I have an easy chair now, and because I've reached that age. I'm going to sit in my easy chair, I'm going to watch some TV, I'm going to play some video games. I'm going to completely forget. And when I'm driving in my little car down my little street, I'm not thinking about the actual horrible things that are going on in the world. And they're there trying to remind people, hey, you know, if you don't believe in this, then you need to think about it more often, because... If you don't think about it at all, then it's easy to forget about it and just let it keep happening. So they're hoping that, you know... I mean, there's a myriad of reasons. I mean, they just hope that a result that is positive to their beliefs occurs. Let's say a family is driving through and a kid asks, what are these people protesting? And it's explained to them. Then that kid might, you know, that might affect how that kid feels in the future. Or if the kid sees a gross baby, it's like, why is there a gross baby, you know? So I think there's a myriad of results that they hope for, but I think that their main feelings are, A, I have this in me and I need to express it, and I just hope that everybody remembers or thinks about it or, you know, is aware. Like, I make fun of awareness kind of stuff all the time because it's very hilarious to me. But there's something to be said for it. It has a valid...
Yeah, it has value. I think the key differentiator in, you know, whether awareness should be mocked or not...
Yeah.
I would say the key differential is it something where the same effort you're putting towards awareness, you could easily be putting towards something more useful?
Yeah, that's... I mean, that's also always what's funny about awareness. It's like, I'll tell you what, you don't really need to raise awareness if you raise money. Because money... talks a lot louder than awareness. Because I can tell you that if you ever run to raise awareness for breast cancer, and they're like, oh, they raised awareness in this run, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. But if they said, oh, they raised $50,000, I'd be like, oh, nice. Thank goodness. Like, somebody's out there doing that. But, yeah, so awareness is kind of
But, yeah, kind of the funny ending sometimes. The war is not really a money cause right. for the most part.
Right.
I mean, well, it depends on what level and what angle of cynicism you want to get at. But it's not a cause where you directly, like, you know, we had a bake sale for yeah. end of the war. Like, that doesn't really work. Yeah, there's money at the highest levels, blah, blah, blah. Corporal government, blah, you know, et cetera. But, oh, no well, blood for oil. But that's not...
Yeah.
Again, I think, you can't bake sale it.
I think that you can't bake sale that. I think the truth of the matter is that, you know, that if you anti-war protest and stuff and people agree with you and you get a movement or a sentiment growing and popular opinion goes down or whatever, that really can affect people. And that actually can affect what happens and what we do. Because, you know, essentially politicians are in a position where they
they're
measure
creatures of
certain interests.
Creatures of public opinion.
Right. They're measuring certain interests versus other interests. And if, as long as you still get a vote, that's power. And they can't seep millions off of corporations if they're not in office. So they still have to get elected.
Okay. I'm satisfied.
Well, I'm that glad was... you feel better about old people with signs.
I do, and I already felt pretty good about them in the first place.
Now it's just
they just seem likable.
Our affect has yeah. gone up. But just to make this episode a little bit funnier, bear slap. Whoopsh, whoopsh. A bear will slap ya. You feed him a chicken. Anyways.
That's good.
Oh, Dave, green light. My new camera is charged.
Good for it.
We're ready to go take some pictures with it.
Oh, man. Exciting field testing for our exhaustive tech review supplement.
Right. Today we're going to go celebrate my birthday.
Yep.
With some fancy dinner cooked by some person throwing knives around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite
kind. We're
going
to, was it a knife juggling spaghetti warehouse? Right?
Knife juggling spaghetti warehouse. There's no reason he has the knife.
He's just a waiter.
He's just a waiter, but he juggles a knife, and I don't really get it.
Can you juggle a
knife? But that's what I like about it.
Can you really juggle a knife?
A knife? To me, if you're throwing a knife up in the air and catching it by the handle, you're juggling that knife. I'm not gonna say you need three in there.
I suppose you don't want to bitch too much to the guy with the knife.
There is that also. But, I mean, people say, oh, I'm juggling a few things here, you know, like juggling my job and my home life.
So you think even though there's only one knife, he's juggling because he's juggling his knife and his responsibilities?
That's part of it. He's juggling his knife and his desire not to get stabbed by that knife flying through the air. So there's a couple things he's juggling.
Juggling his knife and his insecurities.
Yeah, there's that.
And it's just psychological clownsmanship.
All right, well, first of all, if we went out and found one of those juggling people, like people who are hobbyist jugglers, mm-hmm. they would get all up in your grill telling you about one-handed juggling and single-item juggling. There's a lot of it out there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just is.
Do you ever think juggling hobbyists get mad at juggalos because there's nothing they can call themselves now?
I think they call themselves jugglers. So, there's not as much.
You gotta admit, Juggalo is catchier, though.
Juggalo is slightly catchier.
You think jugglers ever sometimes want to take it back?
Yeah, I mean, they could. If they went out, I would fight for them. I'd march for that. You have the right to be called a juggalo, if that's what you want. And not be confused with people who hate magnets. I can get behind that. But I don't think they actually worry about that.
Okay,
you gotta feel bad for, like, what if a guy has, like, one hand and he wants to be a juggler? He's pretty much stuck at, like, the two-item level. If he's doing three, he's superb. Yeah. That's all I have
to say.
Or
he's got huge hands.
Yeah.
A huge hand.
Yeah, or a partner who yes. could throw him things.
A lovely assistant.
A lovely assistant, maybe.
I feel like that's part of the juggler code.
Do you think hot chicks like one-arm guys? Do you think they're, like, amputated? Do you think that if you see a one-arm guy juggling and he's got a hot chick with him, you think she's an amputee fetishist?
No, I think she just finds him brave.
She finds him... He's brave. He's very...
Yeah, he's brave.
He's...
And he's overcoming odds.
He's overcoming odds.
He's got a... Which, that says a certain mindset that I think he's going to project as attractive, you know, regardless of how many hands he got.
Okay, so you're saying...
You know, that's the kind of person who's a one-arm juggler.
You're saying my general, like, you know, when I was out chasing girls as a younger man, I should have been overcoming odds.
Yeah.
I can't disagree with you. Meanwhile, I didn't overcome any odds, I don't think. I mean, I'm sure I overcame an odd here and there, like rolling a natural 20 when I was fighting a certain monster or something, but, you know, other than that, I don't,
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Your triumphs weren't triumphant enough, or obvious.
Yeah, occasional D20 isn't bad, though. I mean, back in the old days, you had to confirm what you can get. If you only hit on a 20, you'd roll a 20 and then another 20. That's like 1 in 400. That's pretty good. That's overcoming odds. Chicks did not find that hot.
Yeah, that's... It's specific kinds of odds, I think. Like, I don't think literal, like, die or card trick odds are going to do it.
So you're saying if I won, like, three straight hands of blackjack, that would not impress too many chicks?
I don't know. That actually might, but that's a different thing. That's another kettle of fish.
I don't understand it all, Dave. This is very confusing to me. It explains why it took me so long to really get into the dating world.
Well, Dave. You don't need to deal with it
anymore.
Dave,
I don't want to tell crazy stories, but your phone just notified it's charging, also complete.
Fantastic.
Now, what are the odds there? Two Samsung devices charging on my desk in the studio come up fully charged in the same, like, 10-minute span. That's overcoming odds.
Now, that actually sounds pretty reasonable to me. That sounds fairly likely.
I think the word you want to use...
At best, that's going to give you, like, a peck on the cheek.
I think the word you want to use is overcoming adversity.
Yes.
There you go. But not overcoming the adversary, because that would be like fighting the devil.
I think that could get you laid.
All right. So the ways to get laid, be an amputee, find an amputee fetishist, overcome adversity, or overcome the adversary. Three ways. We should write a dating book, man.
Okay. I'm just going to spitball a title for our dating book.
Right.
So, One-Handed Man Fighting the Devil, A Guide to Dating.
Dude. You just blew my mind.
My only regret is that the late Boris Vallejo is not alive to draw the cover.
Oh, I would be so into that. Oh. Whew. All right, well, Dave, I think maybe we've spent all our points in this in this episode. We didn't have a lot to begin with, but... Yeah, what are you going to do?
I think I'll feel good about where we got.
I feel fine. I mean, what am I going to complain about? All right, Dave. Do you have anything else to add before we finalize this show and just walk off into the sunset?
I think we're ready. Sunset. Let's do it. Sunset.
All right, sunset.
Walking.
Hold on. I don't have a sunset song. What? Here, there's a... I'll just pick a song. Let's see. We're going to go with... Oh, there we go. Okay, ready? All right. So, thank you for listening to episode 36 of I'm Trying to Think. I'm glad that you continued to listen through the technical difficulties and goofy shit that we say when stuff breaks. We really enjoy that aspect. And although now we're considering upgrading our equipment, right? We're going to try and move to a nice equipment.
Yeah, that's in the works. That's an exciting thing.
It would kill kind of the funny parts of us fucking shit up.
I don't know.
Well, I have to say that I think so. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of I'm Trying to Think. I hope that you come back next week for more I'm Trying to Think. I hope that you like Reel It in the Ears by Steely Dan, because that's the song we're going out with. So say goodbye, Dave.
Bye, folks.
Goodbye.